New medium, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro.
Hello, people of tomorrow. It's Thursday night, and out here in LA, it's raining again. Now, I wonder if my millennials have heard this song before. Roxy Stryer over at the Tomorrow Show bar.
I don't think so.
No. Michael Klaus, Born Again in the Booth.
Born Again, but not heard this song.
Bonjour, Juliette.
No, I haven't, but I like it. It's good.
Well, let me tell you, kids. This is done by a little band by the name of Supertramp. But this isn't really quintessential Supertramp. You see, there are a lot of bands from the 70s, mid-70s, late-70s, who got a second pulse with MTV and would get like a one hit that wasn't really in the vein of their music. So, you know, we've played White Punks on Dope before?
Yeah.
Like, that was the Tubes. But then She's a Beauty was their kind of MTV hit.
Huh.
So for Supertramp, they've had several other hits that are nothing like this. But
yeah,
this would be, you know, when
I wouldn't have been able to pick that this was them, and I know Supertramp.
Back before I was in the academy, when your captain was in high school, this would be playing on the TV for MTV. And that silly, silly little world that we were living in at that time, which was the beginning of the end.
Kevin, looks like they had four different like sections of what they played, 69 to 88,
yeah,
96
yeah.
to 2002, 2010 and 2011, and then since 2015 it says they're back together.
Yeah, because of, you know, like, do what you love and make some money. Even if it's not the money you made before, it's more money than you're going to make doing anything else, and it's still fun. But they used to have, but this is nothing like their other songs. Much softer. But as I said,
I kind of like it.
This was the beginning of the end, Rocks. This is when I knew, even as a kid, I knew.
Bummer.
I knew cable and MTV, and I used to say, this is the beginning. This is where we begin.
Is that part of the song? The, like,
I don't know. It's
weird,
probably,
like,
it's millennials having other windows open.
The weird jimble jamble.
Millennials in the booth. We're hearing some other stuff.
Could be part of the song, though. Could be obscure.
I don't think so. Yeah, close out some of those windows.
That's muted, Kev. There's nothing else.
Interesting. Huh. Well, as I was saying, it's Monday night on the Tomorrow Show.
Is it?
It's Thursday night, you
Is
guys.
It?
No, you know what? We're here. We fooled them again. Tomorrow, it's your day. Friday's for the men. I don't care if it's raining. In fact, if it's raining, even more so your day. In fact, don't even go in tomorrow. If you're
Why?
In L.A., and if you're back east and you've got a nor'easter, or nor'easter, nah, you don't go in tomorrow. You stay out.
All okay. My friends today. Snow day, bitches.
Hey,
snow
bitches.
Day. It's a snow day.
Oh, my God. Rox.
Fuck.
The millennials.
I
what are we going to do,
Rox?
Today, Rox, Roxy at our pregame, Rox, as we were walking across the parking lot, said, you know, I'm really embarrassed for my
yeah.
generation.
It just does feel embarrassing sometimes. Like, I am a millennial. I don't feel like I have I have some millennial qualities. I don't identify completely with the millennials, but it's embarrassing when you walk into a room and you're dealing with somebody who is my dad's age or somebody who you're looking to for advice from. And it's like, I see you seeing me. I know your preconceived notions and you're right for having them. And I can't even blame you. But now I have like a whole different hurdle to cross, and it's embarrassing. It's fucking embarrassing.
Bunch of turtles on their backs.
Is that Kim Crossman AfterBuzz host?
In that photo, yeah. They pulled up a photo. What did you guys just Google millennials?
Literally to get just Googled millennial, Kevin.
And of course, it's just, and the diversity. And can we talk about the term fake millennial love, FML? Not fuck my life, fake millennial
love. I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, because I just made it up. But the way you guys are hypersensitive to bullying and transgender and race and one another and just... And then I've seen you guys when the chips are down. You're not there for each other. I mean, you're there in terms of tweets and I got your back, girl. I get your back. But in terms of, you know, being at bedside with chicken soup or, you know, putting out fires that have to be put out or coming out of your comfort zone to help someone else, I don't see. I see fake millennial love. I see plenty of fake millennial love.
Here's what it is. As long as you are willing to be helped on my terms and my time and my location, then I am happy to do so.
Oh, okay.
And that makes me godly. You're welcome.
Yeah.
But that's really what it is. And,
guys,
and
I just got to go ahead.
Millennials legitimately think that that is being helpful. Like when I'm going through what I'm going through right now with my breakup and the whole situation, they're all like, why don't you pick up a bottle of wine and you come over here and then I'll listen to you talk once you get here.
While I'm doing whatever.
While I am having to finish up my episode of CSI that I just need to watch.
Plus, everybody sees a tweet. The only person that would know about a good deed like bringing soup is the person getting it and the person giving it.
Right. That's a good point, too.
I don't even have a response because it's so it just depresses me more and more. I have to get Ida Kendall in here. Ida is a therapist who's worked with Sean, worked with me, Maria, a lot of big people in LA. That's
great.
Right, little scamulet. Mm-hmm. Bonjour, Juliette.
Bonjour, bonjour.
Bonjour. Because we've worked with some of her counterparts, but you like working with Ida, right?
I love working with her. I like her, you know, because she just is full of wisdom. And also you can tell it's her passion. Whenever she calls, you know, to make an appointment with you, she always takes an extra maybe 5, sometimes 10 minutes to see how I'm doing.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's so nice. That's, you know, you're not getting paid.
FOC.
I know you're. Yeah, I know
you. Free of charge.
Free of charge, yeah. And she has so many clients. She's a really, really busy woman, and she's very genuine, so I really appreciate that.
Yeah. We were talking about how, you know, no one's really going through pain. No one's feeling any pain, and this is why we're so desensitized. And this is why we don't have real empathy. We have fake empathy. What did I say? Fake millennial love? Maybe it's
fake
FME.
Fake millennial love.
Fake millennial empathy. Mm. And I want to have her on the show, and she's like, no, I'll explain it all. She could explain it better than me. We had a interesting session, and I don't know if this would relate to any of yous, but, you know, I remember a couple of, when we first started the show, I went through a really bad spell, and I was feeling like there was a spike going through my chest. I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Just real heartache. And that's when I met Ida, and I went on kind of this journey to figure out. Like,
how did you meet her again?
Star of Entourage.
The girl Emmanuel played Sloan, Emmanuel Shrieky, yeah.
Who had, you know, I think several family members die in 1 year. I mean, just a lot of tragedy. And she said, I have someone who pulled me out, and whatever you're going through. I was going to, you know, psychiatrist, psychologist. I'd never done any of those drugs before. I tried them. Nothing was working. And then I went to Ida. And then I did kinesiology and all these other things. And you know, recently it's coming back. So I met with her yesterday, and she said, I've always been such a fighter that anytime I've had shortcomings or things to grieve about in life, I'm typically pull myself up on my bootstraps. Okay, we got to fix this. You know, got to, you know, suck it up, fight through. And I think Maria's mother's stage 4 cancer, Maria's brain tumor, and then, you know, Maria's dad and brother, you know, had some issues just having to carry the weight of everything. And I think all that just, my adrenaline kicked in and I went back to the fight and I put everything away.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, your body needs time to grieve. And I say it because, you know, hopefully, and I don't know, our very small audience, which is very loyal, they always seem to, they're also going through these spells. It's weird. It's almost like we're all connected.
I know. It's strange. I notice that in the chat all of the time, and I'll bring some of them up tonight as we go, but you'll say something and it's like, how do you say me too anymore without people thinking that's what you mean?
Yeah, me also.
But if, yeah, people, me also.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you took the words right out of my mouth. And like, and honestly, I feel that way with you too, Kevin, sometimes. Like, usually when I feel like your heart's heavy, I'm like, and it's not even just for you, I'm like, my heart's, that's how I feel.
Yeah,
that's how my
empathy
chest feels.
Too. Well, you know, I, one of the things that I just said is like, my empathy pains for you were a trigger as well. Because of what you've been enduring. But it was a good note for everybody. I think there's a lot of times, you know, we don't grieve. And sure, there's people who sedate it. I am not one to have done that. But that's what people do. And some people do. And then it will come back and haunt you. But then there's others who just fight through. And that's kind of been me.
So is it a delayed reaction?
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. It's really true, Kevin. I mean, considering all the stuff that's gone through, at least in the last 2 years, I mean, you with the whole Maria thing, you were taking care of everyone. You were making jokes. You were in the hospital. You were just like this force and you were guiding everyone. And there's been lots of ups and downs. I've only seen you break down once, and it was for a second. And I remember then we hopped back into a car and you were like, okay, now let's go kick some ass, Juliet.
Yeah,
and then you whipped
right.
the car and we went and we got...
And we kicked ass,
and
remember?
We kicked ass.
There were two people that were causing problems for somebody very dear to us in our life. And we went and kicked their ass.
Exactly.
But
like,
yeah.
No one messes with family.
No, we get, you know. But yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of us do that, especially moms. I think women too. Women are so strong. It's gotta kick it in. Gotta kick it in. Gotta kick it in. I have a friend who owns a business back east called Nourish Your Soul. It's a juice business. Friend from college, and as I'm saying this out loud, I think I need to call her again and share this with her too, because her husband, who was my college classmate about 11 years ago, was downstairs with one of the babies, their baby, who was about one or two at the time. And Susan, my friend, just heard the baby screaming, gets up out of bed, sees the baby sitting on the stairs crying, and her husband, Chris, lying flat, face down, arms out, dead as a doornail. Like, his heart literally stopped beating, like this weird condition. And he, because of will and love for his daughter, he placed the daughter down safely on the steps. Like, so he was, and now all these years later, you know, her daughter's now having some issues, but Sue pulled herself up by her bootstraps, built a business, refinished her house. And the girls are amazing. Like, she's got great little unit.
That is so scary, though. That...
But now there's problems bubbling up, and the trauma of, you know, the daughter experience, even at one or two, that's still with her. You know, the dad soul leaving while, you know, she's a baby, and the mother screaming and crying. But then I think also, you know, my friend.
Do they say you can remember that stuff?
Yeah, it's your subconscious, of course. Any of that stuff's going to be in your, go into you.
You think it does for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for everybody. 100%.
At that age?
Yes. If they say your brain's picking up 3,000 things a second, yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely is going in your DNA. And that might not be the right term, but it's going in your, it's going into your programming.
Yeah.
And Susan now just broke her leg or her ankle in three places, and she said to me, you know, it's never going to be better. I go, well, first of all, never, don't say that, because then you're going to, you don't, those words, you know, are very powerful. But as I think of it now, I think it's the universe giving her the time to grieve, because she's never grieved. Now, as I think of it, because she's hitting a place where, wait, how come things are going weird for me because she just fought, move forward, fight. And I think that's what happened with me. And I think that happens to a lot of people. And even with your rocks, remember I said we need to take the standing nine count?
Yeah.
So, Mike, you know what that is in boxing?
I mean, I know the nine count is when, like, you can't – oh, when you
stay down. A standing nine count, meaning – like a 10 count will knock you out.
So you stay down over. For nine. To
basically, you take the nine to get your strength back.
Smart.
So that's why I have Roxy. I'm like, no.
And you stand right back up before you're about to get.
Yes. So just before you go to the mental home or you do something crazy or you kill yourself, then you get back up. But you need time to grieve and process. And because life is moving so fast between that. And then the fact that most of us are trained to avoid. First of all, it's human nature to want to avoid pain anyway.
Yeah.
Come on, that's just normal. But it's especially part of our society to get that high by looking at a tweet, get that high by buying something, get that high if literally that high, you know?
Yeah, get that high by that high.
By that high, or it could be food, whatever. But, anyway, so I think that. You know, that was a kind of a breakthrough for me. And the other thing too is when you're in transition, you know, we were talking about how, Ida was telling me about when birds molt, they really can't fly, they can't hunt. And she said, you know, you're in that molting phase because my career is shifting right now. You know, with Maria not working, I'm having to be more extroverted, do a lot more. And because I was saying, how come I'm hard? I'm really slow on making decisions. I'm very indecisive. And I'm not accomplishing as many tasks. And she said, yeah, that's why. Because you're molting. So she's like, you're not able to do certain things. So, I don't know if that makes sense to you.
I think, Kevin, you've spent the better part of 20 years having to make decisions for other people and not making decisions for yourself.
Yeah.
And that's totally different because you're still on the ball when I'm like, Kev, what should I do? You're like, okay, here's what you do, Roxy. You're going to do. It's not like, I don't know. You're on it. Same thing. I've heard you give Juliet advice in the last few weeks. Like, this is what you need to do. This is where we're going. It's different.
That's easy to me, yeah, because I don't know why. Because in the last even 3-4 days, I've had multiple people with multiple issues that were.
And you're like, done.
Yeah.
But for yourself, all of a sudden, like even having to think about yourself, put yourself even close to remotely first.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah, I don't know. I know what AfterBuzz at the network, I'm good. Mm-hmm. When it's like, change this, change that.
Yeah.
But even still, been a little slow. And even for our show, which we were going
to
say.
But it all has to do with you, your life, our show. After Buzz, like my life, my relationship, or Juliet's life, Juliet, whatever she, same thing with Michael, like anybody who's like, okay, for my scam, you're like, boom, boom. But if it has to do with you.
My scams, at least right now,
For right now.
But I've never been, even with my own scams though, Rox, I've never been so indecisive.
What scams have you had to do? The scams
recently,
that you've done?
Recently, not many.
You know?
Not many. Well, listen. One of the things which I'm leading to is that we are going to be having a little bit of a change here in the Tomorrow Show because of so much going on. It's just hard for me to do the show twice a week. And starting when, Rox?
Next week. So our next show.
We're going to be going once a week.
Woo-hoo.
On Wednesday nights.
7 p.m. Pacific time, live.
You know, and even to make that decision was like, get back to me. Remember, I was like,
Yeah, but you were being smart about it. You weren't saying get back to me like, okay, I can't.
I know, I just couldn't make this. I know me, Rox, I'm telling you, I couldn't make the decision. I just am like, I don't know what to do. So, anyway, let's keep it to the Tomorrow Show. One night a week. But because... we are always open to change and always open to growth, and we are not rigid. That doesn't mean that it could be like that forever, nor does it mean that it might stay that night. We feel like that's the middle of the week, so we can get just enough from the early week and just enough to take us into the weekend.
Yeah.
And I think when we have interviews that come in that we like, then we will just do them and put them up on demand. So
if you're listening to this and you're a big ass celebrity and you're like, drat, I can't do Wednesday nights. We'll work with you.
We'll figure it out.
That's another one, Kevin. I was talking to you about this earlier today about how millennials apply advice so poorly. And I've heard people apply your don't be rigid way too poorly now. So I think that there is a difference between like standing your ground and not being lazy and not being rigid.
I think we all have to ask ourselves about when we take advice or we read, you know, different people's philosophies and we just tailor them to ourselves, like to what we want.
Yeah.
Rather than what is or what the real meaning is. Like a lot of people will twist meaning of things they hear. For what's convenient for them and what they want or desire.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
It's very true. Like, aha, I get it. And then they do something and it's like, wow, you didn't get it at all.
Yeah, no, you kind of missed it.
You totally missed it. You did the opposite of what I said. Good for you. Only millennials.
So, you know, and my Google are suicides on the rise because I've also heard that they are. And I think it is because of all this that's going on, you know, and isn't something you guys like, you know, there was, I'm pretty sure unless I dreamed it, there were two more school shootings this week, but it was like one person or two people.
I think we're going to talk about that in news, right, Michael?
Yes. So there was one in Maryland.
And there's either Florida or even in California, there was one where only one or two people were killed. Or maybe they took a gun to the school or something. Anyway, but the point is, it's just, we're now so desensitized.
It doesn't even, barely makes anybody's radar.
It's unbelievable the times we're living in. And that's why I keep saying, Mike, and I feel like no one's listening to me, we need more machine guns.
More machine guns.
Can we get some grenades? And I don't know why... Do they make mini bombs? Like, you know how we have missiles and things like that? Can we have home ones?
I mean,
yeah, for hunting?
We'd ask.
Seriously, take out a deer. You need, right? A nice rocket launcher.
We asked the Austin guy, but he's dead now. So,
He did those kind of bombs. No, I'm talking like a nice rocket launcher for hunting.
What do you mean?
Well, if I go hunting and I want to take out a deer, right? I might want to, you know, light them up with a rocket launcher. No, why, Mike? It's my right. It's my right.
You got to be sure.
Yes,
that's what Michael sounds like to me. Though when he says it's his right to shoot guns,
so don't. Well, don't take it away from me, Roxy.
Okay.
So I feel like I still feel like if we could get more high powered artillery, and I think I want to step it up, Mike. Rocket launchers, more assault weapons. What else? I want to step the game up.
Bazooka?
Yeah, like stuff like that. Like there's got to be
For sure.
A hunting bazooka.
We'll put it behind glass, though, at the school, so you got to break the glass to be able to get it.
Oh, I was just saying have more in general.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not necessarily have them in school. Just have more of them because, you know, what happens is you get a good neighbor.
Somebody's going to find this episode, Kevin.
You get a good neighborly person driving down the road in his beach wagon. And, you know, he hears all the fireworks going on when someone's shooting up a school with their assault rifle. And he goes, yeah, bitches, how you like my bazooka? He pulls down the tailgate of the Ford Fairmont station wagon and out comes the bazooka and boom.
You think we should make them prettier, too, like maybe rainbow colors, some in pink, like try to appeal to some different kind of maybe bedazzled bazookas.
You know why I think that's a good idea? Because
tell me.
No, because we need to include all communities.
That's true.
So too. I think
that's true.
I think, you know, I don't think it's not right to just want guns in the hands of a certain type.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? I want the gays to have guns and rifles and assault weapons and bombs. I want transgender. I want everybody.
All ages.
Yeah.
Grandparents, too, I'm thinking.
Yeah. It's their right. You know? Maybe you've got to be 13. Maybe. I'm willing to talk about that, an age limit. I'm willing to talk about that. And that is a lot, Rox. No, that's giving a lot because, Michael, this is my right. The founding fathers said.
Well, I think the biggest thing people don't realize about age limits too, which and I'm a proponent of moving to 21,
yep, 13,
is that you can
maybe
still
12,
anyone under 18 can still get a gun, but you have to have a parent buy it for them. So it adds another point of accountability.
That's not true in all states.
Well, it is in a lot of states, though.
Some states, yeah.
Let's not argue.
So it adds another step of accountability.
Everyone in this room knows that we need more guns, bigger guns, and more weapons to be readily available. That's the only way we're going to stop this. Sorry. Let's see. Self-inflicted injury rates for young females aged 10 to 14 years increased 20% in the, you guys, from 2009 to 2015.
Hard to find a specific suicide stat, but that's certainly an alarming one.
You guys, 20% in 6 years. It rocks. How are you not alarmed by that? Did you see that?
That's the amount. That's the percentage of Greek life there is at USC, Kev. Pretty equal stats.
Holla. No, but that is so...
That is crazy.
No, really. All joking aside, 20% in 6 years. Not in 2 decades. 20% in 2 decades would be enough. Oh, my God.
It's just the world we live in, you know?
I don't want to be here anymore.
It's like, at what point do we stop saying that and start changing the world we live in? Like, well, Kevin, you were talking about something in the car, and you were like, we're fucked. And I was like, for how long? And you were like, oh, forever.
Yeah, we're fucked.
Forever.
I used to say, Phil, we need more events. More fun events for people to go to.
What happened to prom?
We're doing prom Friday. We're planning AfterBuzz prom. Don't worry.
Thank you. On
the books.
This is a crazy stat.
Read this one, Mike.
So it says, among other findings, the research showed that the use of electronic devices, including smartphones, for at least 5 hours a day, more than doubled in that period of time. And the group who spent the most time glued to their cell phones were 70% more likely to have suicidal thoughts or actions than those reported just 1 hour a day.
70% more. Wow. Oh, dear.
It's because everybody has the fake Instagram life, you know?
I mean, no. It's that dopamine that gets shot to the brain, and then it's, you know, yes, over the fake lives, and we're seeing the fake lives of others. I mean, I know a lot of the people that are living their best fake life, and I will tell you that their real lives are 180 degree difference from what I'm seeing from the fake life.
You want to know something crazy?
In terms of poverty, in terms of, you know, relationships and how unhappy they are. Anyway.
But in some situations, I will say, it can be kind of a fake it till you make it kind of thing. Like, all right, if you pull up Instagram and you pull up
that's business. Fake it till you make it for business.
No. I was about to say me in Mexico. Sometimes when you're like absolutely decimated and devastated and you're posting and you like you've talked about, Kevin.
Yeah, but that was different.
Yeah, but some people with their fake lives,
okay, but
getting those immediate likes, Kev, that's like all they kind of have.
You were in crisis.
Right. I'm not just talking about me, though. I'm just talking about people. Sometimes if you're miserable and you're posting things that people are liking.
But you're getting a dopamine high.
Right.
That's just the shot of heroin. So it's shit. It's different when, okay, if there's a business reason where it's going to advance business or career or make money, got it, copy. Yes, there are those moments. You were having one of them. You were in crisis. I mean,
do you ever do fake life?
For business, absolutely. Meaning, no, everything you see on my stuff is real, but I'm not showing you all. I'm not, other than I put a picture up of me and baby because I'm really sad about her.
I saw that.
And it's such a sad photo. It's like the two of us with sweatshirts on and matching sweatshirts. And it was at a doctor's visit that I had her. And even Maria's like, oh, my God, the two of you look so sad. That's the closest I come to showing, you know, the real sadness. My stuff is not that it's fake, but it's censored.
Yeah.
So everything I'm showing you, it's moments from the Tomorrow Show. It's moments with the babies, my dogs. And that's real. That's not fake. But I'm not showing you, you know, all the other moments of pain and suffering and things like that. And I go back and forth on that too. Like if I shouldn't shut it down in the words of Taffer. You know? I just wonder if I shouldn't just shut it down.
If you're going to do it, you have to say it the way he does.
I'd have him announce.
You would.
Just go on the Facebook page. That's it. I'm shutting it down. But I think I would be a lot happier if I did. Because of the same dopamine rush or whatever, you know. But anyway, I feel like we're not learning much at all. Not that we ever learn anything.
I think a lot of this show is just talking and figuring it out, Kev. It's like sometimes the lessons don't hit you till later anyway.
Well, I don't know. I need to be more creative. That's what I came out of my thing yesterday is I have to.
We're working on several projects together right now, Kev.
Yeah.
You and I have several scams in the fire.
We have
do scams
to...
go in the fire or where do they go?
Scams go in the. Oh, scams go. Yeah.
In the Chick-fil-A?
Scams in the iron, scams in the fire. Yeah. Oh, Michael, this is funny. This is stuff that I used to do when I was funny. Mike, tell us about your. This is genius. Mike and his roommates put up a Facebook Chick-fil-A page for a certain town claiming that the Chick-fil-A was coming, and they got the whole town and community excited about the coming of Chick-fil-A. So can we, Mike, tell us what you did.
So about a week ago, we just decided to just fool the hometown of two of my roommates, Portsmouth, Ohio. Nice, lovely town, full of gullible people, obviously. And they don't have a Chick-fil-A. And they, oh, man, but these people want a Chick-fil-A, Kev. So we
Wait,
basically
how do
gave
you know
them
that,
a Chick-fil-A.
How do you know that they wanted one?
Because two of my roommates are from there.
Yeah, but so
everyone wants a Chick-fil-A.
So everyone, they said to you, everyone in our town always talks about Chick-fil-A and how we want one.
People in the Midwest want Chick-fil-A in their town because it's a Southern and a West Coast chain.
And it's one of those things that there's so much hype around a Chick-fil-A. I mean, I've had it. It's okay, but it's not the crack that it's been
but like the Bible
sold
Belt,
to me.
The
like
Bible
in,
Belt
by the way,
area?
In-N-Out lives up. I think In-N-Out lives up to the hype. If you're not from here, granted, we now have a Mommy Burger and Five Guys, but still, In-N-Out, fresh meat menu, same since the 40s.
Suck, though, Kev.
Different fries. Well, they're because they're fresh. They're really cut from a potato. But
not in on it.
But I feel like In-N-Out lives up to when you come out here.
I love a good double.
Take someone to an In-N-Out, and they go, "Oh my god!" Like. But I don't know if Chick-fil-A lives up to it in the way In-N-Out does. But
I like Chick-fil-A fries more.
But the whole community is up. In fact, I think I'm gonna go over there tomorrow. I think I need a Chick-fil-A visit tomorrow, just because you said this, Mike. But only because maybe I missed out. I just
they
did
don't
it really
support
fast.
The gays, so we don't support the Chick-fil-A's.
Oh, I love my gays.
I know.
Not a big fan of Andrew Cunanan from Versace, though.
Well,
I don't like him as
a
gay
because he is gay.
Ooh, I hate to give him a pass. Well, he took out the godfather of gays, Versace.
I know.
So he's really criminal,
wow.
I would think.
Shit.
Mike, go ahead. Go back to your story.
So we decided to just fool the town. So we created a Facebook page, as any millennial would do. And we posted one photo that said, coming soon. This is the second photo that we posted. Anyone on YouTube seeing this right now? But we posted a photo, coming soon. Designed a banner. I can't show you because it got removed. But posted a banner that said Chick-fil-A Portsmouth coming soon, designed something on Adobe. That within a day and a half, we had like 600 followers on the page. People all excited. That post got like 200 shares.
I love this.
A day and a half later, we posted this photo that everyone is seeing, which we based off an online photo. This one got 900 shares. The reach of this photo was 76,000 people, which is more than three times the amount of people who live in the town. Sad news, though. Today, Facebook removed us.
Oh. How do you think that happened?
I just don't want you to have fun.
No, but do you think Chick-fil-A alerted them? Who would have alerted them, Mike?
So it would probably, our thought is that it was a nearby Chick-fil-A. A lot of the comments, people were like, oh, this nearby town Chick-fil-A said it's fake. Because people are like pro, con in the comments of, oh, it's coming. No, it's fake. Oh, no, but this is real. I think it's real. I want to hope it's real.
You know what we have to do, Mike, then? Let's
really make
let's
one?
Go back to the drawing board. No. I think we bring this up another level. I think we find a Bible belt town, and I think we open a Spearmint Rhino or a Hooters.
I think that's so much more fun.
What's that?
What you're saying.
Oh, to open it.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying we have to cyber open it.
Oh.
Like he did. But I think
can we really open it?
Don't get me going.
Let's ask one of our wealthy friends.
No, later in life, because I see this so perfectly, you behind the bar with the little, like, can opener, the bottle opener in your little back pocket of your little shorts. I just see this so perfectly, the little half shirt.
Nothing I liked better than Roxy, the years I worked at a bar. I fucking loved it.
I can just see this so well. What is it going to be? You slinging the coasters out for people, bossing people around, but still being fun. But I'm telling you, the AfterBuzz TV bar, and it's the way that we have sports bars, why don't we have TV viewing bars? So all TV view, you like Idol? Come to AfterBuzz Bar. You can watch with other Idol people.
It's because people don't know how to be quiet. And sports, you can watch without the volume.
Well, here's what we would do. We would have booths. Mm. And at each booth, you'd have a little, just like an AfterBuzz. You'd have your little viewing station. No, I got it all. And I ran it by Mr. Taffer. John Taffer, by the way, New York Times bestselling author. He made it.
That's amazing.
He's welcome to the club. He texted me 2 days ago.
You're multi-time, and now he's next to you.
Yeah, it's okay. He's catching up to me.
Ah.
But no, I'm really proud of John. But I ran the idea by John. He's like, yeah, it totally would work.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So I just...
Well, I get drunk, and I watch TV, so I would go...
Well, I think that there's a community of people that do want that love to connect, and that's why AfterBuzz does so well.
And then during commercials, like, oh my god, did you do that?
Yeah, I think you would. I think like-minded people. Listen, if there's been times I've gone down to, I used to go to Sonny McLean's, the Boston bar,
love it,
and
best wings in town.
And I would get, you know, I'd be with a Celtics fan, or you know, and I'm one that's so overwhelmed in my life. It's really hard to make social time for people I'm not working with. It's just how it is. But I will get, if someone is loves something as much as I do, I'm in. You know, so if you love the Celtics as much as I do, you love a TV show as much as I do, I'm in. So, as I always think like a consumer, I feel like, yeah, groups of people would want to get together and connect.
I've actually never met a friend of yours that you didn't work with, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
In some capacity.
Some capacity.
Yeah. That's interesting. You're the only person I know who's never introduced me to a friend that you didn't work with in some capacity. Even Andrew Lee. Even...
No, Peter H. College friend.
Peter H. I met him in Vegas. Okay. Okay, Peter H.
So, yeah. Well, listen, when you end up... As you get older and you get more responsibilities, and forget it for people who have children, your time gets more and more limited, and it's unfortunate. So I will often say to people... that I am friends with, I'll beg them, please, let's do a project together. Come, let's do an after show. Pick an after show. We'll go to AfterBuzz, have a few drinks, watch our show, laugh, go do the after show, and you know, and
why not move the needle while also doing it?
I can't afford to do anything else.
Right.
And other people out there fighting for your dreams, it's really hard. It's really hard. To do it, to have that access in your life. So, you know, I always say, for people who have lofty, lofty goals, I say everything in your life, everything you do in your day must somehow support your career, with the exception of what, Roxy?
Health and well-being of your loved ones.
That's it. So that also includes your social life. So for me, my social life became going to the movies, going to plays, it was fun. Now, was it as much fun as maybe going to a bar and getting blasted drunk? Maybe not. But sometimes it was fun. Binge watching TV. And if there were things that I could do, even if it's working out or going down to the beach to meditate, that is helping my career because it's making me stronger. It's making me more focused. It's making me more relaxed. It's helping me to decompress.
But there's a caveat here, though, Kevin.
What's that?
I want to say, because I keep saying, people are taking your advice the wrong way.
Okay.
Health and well-being, because I saw this recently, health and well-beings of your loved ones means serious health and well-beings
exactly.
of your loved
it
ones.
It cannot be.
Not, oh my God.
Yeah, no.
Today sucked.
You can't,
it just sucked.
Uh-uh.
Please drop everything. We're getting shit-based.
No, it means like someone is in serious pain,
someone really needs your help.
Really needs your help.
And I see this too much where people are like, but it's my second cousin and he
really
did get a bad score on his test.
Nope.
It's like, oh,
Yeah, no.
Well.
No. But that also includes, like I said, not just your social life, but it includes even your friends, you know? So it's having friends that are like-minded, that also have dreams and goals. And for me, it got down to that point where, you know, going to a coffee shop to sit and hang with a friend for 3-4 hours, I can't do it. I don't have time anymore. So that's why I'll say, hey, let's do something together. Let's do something constructive. Let's get together. Luckily in LA, we have traffic, so I can get on the phone and call. It's nice. I can check in with people.
I think that's an actually underrated part about living in LA versus New York.
Yep.
Because they're underground on the subway. They can't talk to anybody. They're done.
Yeah.
But here I'm like, catching up with this person, catching up with this person. All right, I did my duty for the day. Friendship handled.
Right. So there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
No, there you go.
The chat right now, a lot of different things going on, but I just want to give out a shout out to our very, very dear friend, Brandy, who's not doing so well right now.
Brandy, what's the matter, Brandy?
And so she's just being a little more quiet than usual, but a lot of love and support for her in the chat. And people even earlier on, Kevin, connecting to exactly what you're saying. And Laura was talking about how, like, yes, when you're describing something, she feels it too. And yeah. I just think that small but mighty.
Yeah. Small but mighty. Oh, I feel bad.
About what?
No, I hear like Brandy and like some of our fans are down. I don't like to hear that.
It's unbelievable how challenging life can be sometimes to navigate, and how it just almost feels impossible in moments.
I think more challenging now than ever. It just goes. It's going so fast, and I still think that biologically, we're not built to be so technologically interconnected and on this 24-hour clock. I don't know if I'm making sense. I just don't feel like we're evolved enough yet.
It's a whole different set of scams in every area of your life. And I don't feel like I was ready for it either. My age was the exact age where it kind of started to shift. Like, I got to see a little bit of the before and all of the after of how people interact. And it is crazy going from, like, having a crush on somebody as a kid, but out of sight, out of mind, to now you like somebody or you want to be their friend. You're looking at them. Did they post? They're not responding to my text message. Did they say something on Twitter? Let me check out their Instagram. What are they doing on Facebook? Where are they right now? Should I go there? Why wasn't I invited to that? And, like, it's hard to not be a psychopath. And we're not – my brain, I don't know about your guys, but it's not equipped to – handle all of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So then sometimes it's like, no, you know what? I'm not going to use technology, but you can't go all the way that way.
Right.
Because you have to be living in this century. Have you ever done that before? You know, like somebody's not responding to you, so you stalk. Pretty much you stalk.
I don't go to the stalking, but it hurts. And I'm empathetic. I get where you would go to that. I'm really interested, you know, hopefully we'll get your sister Sky on the show at some point, only because meeting her at 13.
Yeah.
And now in a blink, she's graduating from college, and this is the Gen Z. This is the next generation. And she's grown up just
100% in it,
connected this way and only with a smartphone. She's probably had a smartphone
since she was 13, since you knew her.
Since we knew her.
Since she was 12, maybe.
So.
Yeah, you had to, in my town, because if you were going to start going to the bar and bat mitzvahs, Kevin, you were going to be out till midnight, so you had to get a smartphone.
It's awesome.
Little 12-year-olds.
I love that.
Bopping around with it.
So it'll be interesting to see what she's like, you know?
Yeah. She's very good at connecting, but I do notice some of her friends, like if I go there, I take her friends out to dinner, and she has a lovely group of friends. Not that they're not kind, but it is... Like, they'll text me all the time. Oh, my God, Rox, you're amazing. And then when I'm there, it's like kind of you don't know what to say.
Are they just texting during the meal and not really?
No, I'm saying when I'm not. Yeah, they do that. But, like, if I'm gone, they write on every single post. They email me. They text me. They Facebook. And then when I'm there, it's like.
Crickets. When it comes to real connection.
Because they don't even know how to.
Yes, I know.
It's not quick enough. You're not now quick enough.
So weird. So what are they like at bars?
It's a lot of. I was imitating my millennial voice for
Who's
you.
Who's this? Is this guy's
no,
team?
No, this is me. This is my team that you were texting.
Hey, bitches! Oh, these are the
my high school friends.
High school Jews.
Yeah, my high school Jews.
They were so nice. Thank God for them.
They're the best. But when I was talking to Jules earlier, I was telling her like my basic millennial voice. As we, you know, Kevin, we are auditing a lot of the AfterBuzz shows right now. We're going through, we're listening, we're seeing which ones where they need work and whatnot.
Right.
And there was one show that I was listening to, and I was like, "This is there's." Three white women on the show who all have the exact same what I call millennial voice, which is like is so cool.
And when Paul Sorvino was on the show, Mira's dad, the star, he was imitating even young actors, always talking in questions.
And there's just a different kind of tone. So when they're speaking, you almost don't know whether they're making statements. It's hard.
I don't want to be here anymore. Did I say that already?
And so it really is like connecting with them. Sometimes it does feel like they're speaking a different language. And that's only a 5-year difference. But I'll be listening to them thinking, I actually don't know how to respond because I don't know whether they were just asking me something, telling me something, or whether they were actually speaking out loud and texting somebody, because, you know, sometimes they'll be doing this and they'll be talking at the same time. And I'm like, is that what they're saying?
I wonder.
I don't know.
Yeah, I just wonder if you don't get everyone drunk. Just tends to level the playing field.
Oh, so yes. That's how you're saying how they are at bars.
Juliet, like we got, when I got your friends drunk that night or that day, everyone loosened up and was laughing, and it was normal. The jokes were, you know, people were connected.
You didn't get them drunk. They got drunk on there.
Yeah, they were you're right. Thank you. Because I got there late. They actually were way overserved.
Yeah.
And I couldn't catch up. I'm saying once drinks flowed, it seemed like a bit of an equalizer. That's why
Yeah, they loosened up. They talked more. The phones were put down.
Right. Okay, so Roxy, go ahead.
Well, it's interesting because I forgot you were asking about the bar. And Julia is totally of that age. She's of my sister's age almost. And she's different because she's from France. And
different
so it's a
scam.
Whole different scam. so different. Like, I think of you and my sister's friends as night and day.
A biento.
It's just very, very different. But I do notice, like, if I ever do go out with Julia and there are some of her friends around, some of them are much more, I'm like, damn, that's when I remember that Juliet's young. Not when I'm one-on-one with Juliet because she's got such an old soul and she is an individual. But the people that are that age at the bars, Kevin, it's such a strange – just drunk, dance, text, look, pick, shot, pick. That's it.
That's it.
There is no like, I want to meet somebody and connect with them tonight.
None of it.
That's not a
– And what about the bars where there's no dancing?
I see people dancing at bars with no dancing. Do you see that, Jules?
Yeah, I think I see that as well. But I see at the bars that are less animated, I see a lot more phones.
Mike, you're still young enough where you can date Gen Z. So what do you – no, really.
That's
so
true.
Do you see any – tell me, do you notice any difference with the Gen Z?
Oh, I mean, I definitely do. If they're really addicted and you try to have a – I see, I like someone who I can have a conversation about what's going on in the world. And that's always tough because what's going on in their world is what's going on and trending on Twitter and what their friend Becky talked about and not, hey, what's going on in the actual world of world events, social events, and they just don't know or they just read headlines. And that's they don't dive into conversation. It's all a lot of surface level stuff, which is difficult.
Again, this is such a generalization. And
very generalization.
There are those gems for sure. But I think it's getting more and more rare and more challenging to be able to converse with somebody at a younger age because you don't – a lot of them – I learned the other day, my little cousin's in high school. She's a freshman. She learned to type before she learned to write.
Yeah, that's happening now. Meaning I think that's going to, writing's going to go away.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. I learned cursive growing up. Did you guys learn cursive?
That's the only type of way we write in France.
So is cursive gone now?
No cursive anymore.
So what we learned, the Easter Bunny is gone, is pretty, he's gone. He's on the wane.
His stock is going low.
His stock is dropped and cursive. Cursive writing is gone.
Gone.
Really?
Gone. They don't even, from what I saw, they don't even teach it anymore.
Wow.
But you learn to type before you learn to write, and you do not, cursive is not a, because the reason that cursive was invented was so that you could write quicker. And now you don't have to write quicker because you're only typing.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, other than my signature, geez, I don't know. I mean, I really struggle with the handwritten letter. I usually do block letters.
Yeah, you use a lot of uppercase.
Yeah, I do.
Let's ask. Well, I'm going to tweet out right now at the Tomorrow Show. And
hey,
I'm gonna
bitches.
I'm going to say, hey, bitches.
Hey, girl. Hey.
I'm curious. Does anybody use cursive anymore?
Put that poll on. We'll give up.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
You know, I think we should go to the news. What do you guys think? Yes, some? No, some?
Let's do it, Kev. Let's get some knowledge in.
Yeah, man, let's drop some knowledge.
Well, the knowledge starts in Texas with an update of a story that we were talking about. Obviously, the terrible situation going on with the bombings. But thankfully, the person who did that is no more. He was actually suicide by his own bomb. That is when cops were closing in. The whole spree lasted 19 days, involved 6 packages, 5 bombs, left 2 people dead, including that bomber and 6 others injured. Now, there's still not an exact reason, though, behind why he did it.
He did leave behind
a 25-minute kind of manifesto video talking about the bombs, labeled them in specific so they know that's how they know it was him. But there's still no exact reason. I mean, there's nothing in his life that people have released. They did say, so there was one of the bombs blew up at a FedEx, and they did say that it was a female target at a spa, though they're not releasing the major connection between the two of them. But I just, do you worry about copycats?
Yes. I worry about all of it. It's just, but he didn't shock me because we've seen this before. You know what I mean? I said that on the other show. We've seen this before. It was just funny, and Sam and Jim Norton, Sam Roberts show, Sirius XM 103, on their show, they were focused on the response of the chief. You know, a challenged young man talking about the challenges in his life.
It's an outcry.
I mean, you know, and I can't see a cop who was putting his life on the line, you know, for some little asshole, explaining it in that way other than trying to be politically correct, you know? It's like, and I, challenge. I could have given him a lot of challenges, Mike, with my fists.
And there is the big outcry because he's a white guy. He's a white kid. So, he's challenged if he's white, but obviously the stereotype whenever it's maybe a person of color is that, oh, he's a thug.
Well, we know this, that serial killers, white people, listen, I know this is going to sound racist, but white people tend to make the best serial killers. Just like, you know, blacks tend to make the best basketball players. Mm. White people tend to make the best serial killers.
Is it because they don't get caught as easily?
No, it's that sense of entitlement. And why am I not famous? Why am I not rich? Why am I not this? You need to die.
I'm scared all of the time. Are you guys?
Yeah. Again, we have Connecticut. It's there. There's plenty of room for everybody.
I don't feel like anywhere is safe. I really don't. I've been going to all of these press screenings. And part of the reason I started reaching out about going to these press screenings, which is when you see a movie before it comes out, is because I was like, I think, and there's security in all of them. I'm like, I think a shooter wouldn't come to the press screening.
Maria is like a hawk at those. See, people get up in the middle of it, walk around. She's like, who's that? She's all over it. I'm like, and she's like, you're just sitting there. I'm like, because if they're going to do it, just friggin' do it.
I have to, but it I have sucks. To be, I have to have a visual of the door. I have to know where my exit is. And everybody, you should always know where your exit is. It's the number one most important thing. But I'm fucking scared all the time. I'm scared when I get in my car. I'm scared when
Well, you wouldn't be if you had a nice home bazooka in your back seat.
Yeah, I fucking would
or
be.
Or a pocket bazooka. No, a bazooka, right, Mike? Like a backpack.
Like a belt bazooka.
Oh.
Oh, I like that.
Pink
I was
and
thinking,
bedazzled,
no, I was thinking, you know, those long tubes that carry architect plans with a strap?
Genius.
So, right? So, Rox, your like little bazooka would be like that. And you'd just be carrying it into your screening. You put it right next to you.
Fuck.
Anyway, fuck this kid. Sorry to say. Good riddance. I'm glad they got him. I knew they would. And as usual, they always take themselves out.
Another kid who was very troubled was in Maryland this week. And this is one of the shootings that you're talking about, Kevin. The other one actually happened last week, the one in California.
He was challenged.
This one, obviously a very troubled, challenged kid who just got out of a relationship, Kev. So he got screwed and decided to take it out, unfortunately, on the girlfriend who was his previous girlfriend. And he went into a school at Great Mills High School in Maryland, and he opened fire. Now, the good news is he didn't open fire on a lot of people. He opened fire on the girl, and then another boy was also hit. The other very positive news is that a school resource officer was on site. He was armed, and within 1 minute, he had shot the kid, and the kid passed away.
None of this sounds like good news to me.
I say good news
you
because
mean
of all
than the
better than the alternative right. based well, on what has happened.
Well, right.
I just hate that we have to call that good news. Well, like, can't good news be like a disease was cured?
Yeah.
Like,
but
not making fun of you, Michael, because I totally get what you're saying, but it's like I'm so sick of that being fucking good news.
It was good that he wasn't focused on everybody, right? So again, all you
Yay!
Can do is,
well,
all you can
Yay!
Do is what does Captain Kev always say? All you can do is slow him down. And it was good news that this guy took him out, so now we don't spend $60,000 to $100,000 a year of this guy being in prison. We don't give him headlines. We don't spend, you know, millions of dollars on the court case. Goodbye. Take him out in a box.
And it sounds bad. And this is a legitimate question of how do you stop a situation like this? That's a domestic situation. It's a domestic. It's him in a relationship with this girl. It sounds like he would have done it on school or off school.
Yeah.
Real talk, that sounds bad, but that's why when we label school shootings, you know, and talk, I think CNN had a stat, it was like 17 school shootings since the beginning of the year. And it's like, yes, that is a shooting that happens on school property. And a lot of those that they're naming are like after sporting events where someone pulls out a gun in a parking lot. Well, that could be any parking lot. It sounds bad.
What else we got, Mike?
So, going back to the shooting at the school in Florida, the Stoneman Douglas High School, they have actually made a new rule that students are only allowed to bring in clear backpacks. Every student, the only backpack you're allowed to wear on the campus is a clear backpack. Uh-huh. And this comes after the shooting suspect's brother was charged with trespassing on campus, and two students were arrested for carrying knives.
And I like that they said, if anybody can't afford this, we will provide one
for you.
Yeah.
Slow them down. All we can do, kids, slow them down.
Do you think this is going to be a nationwide thing?
Clear backpacks are actually very trendy right now, so that's lucky that people think that that's trendy. What I think is uncomfortable is, like, that's a very awkward time in your life. Girls have tampons. They're embarrassed.
I know.
Things like that. But if it fucking helps, then that's what we have to do.
Slow them down. Yeah. That's all we can do. What else, Mike?
Well, a contentious situation going on right now in Northern California in Sacramento, because Sacramento police officers shot and killed a black man in his grandmother's backyard because they believed he was pointing a gun at them. Now, that item that he was holding in his hands ended up being a cell phone, and that has certainly kind of instigated the racial claims again that he was shot because he was a black man. Police are saying that this was actually following a series of break-ins that happened in the night. A neighbor called in and said that a man in a hoodie, did not specify race, broke in his truck, another car across the street. Police helicopter above also saw this man break into another residence nearby, and it was dark, and they came after him, and two body cameras, they thought he was holding a gun. Where do you guys stand on this?
Where do I stand?
I mean, I feel bad for the guy, and I still think that
the guy that was killed, you mean?
Yeah, and I think there needs to be, you know, more training for the policemen, because they're scared, and And because they're so scared, they're shooting. And I've told you, I have family members who are law enforcement. And I have one of my best friends from college who's higher level law enforcement. In fact, two. One is Secret Service. The other one is state police, you know. And even the there's a couple in our neighborhood that like ran the FBI back in the 90s. And there's a real difference with them, with the local law enforcement and the people I'm talking about, and it's the level of training. And I think it's that more than racism. I really do. Yes, there are racist cops, but
but Kevin, do you think had this boy been white, they would have shot him?
Probably not. But that's the fear, though. They're afraid, Rox.
I know, but they're afraid.
They're afraid, so they shoot.
Not just because of lack of a training.
I disagree
on
that.
But with training, Roxy, you don't have that fear. You stay calm.
Yeah.
And you think, okay. Like, you don't walk up to a car and a kid says to you, I have a gun under the seat. I'm not going to use it. And his hands are up on the dash, and you just you shoot him. You remember that case?
Yeah.
The guy's afraid. So my friend Duke... I've seen Duke in situations and didn't blink. You know, even on our fraternity days during the hazing and stuff, kids were like crying or throwing up or screaming or just getting snapping. And this kid, just nothing, just focused, just nothing. And that's what, you know, never. And he doesn't take it home. You know, the crazy shit he sees, you know, doesn't take it home to his kids, doesn't take it home to his wife. And I think that's because of he's superior, but he should be. That's his job. And I don't think a lot of these guys who are carrying guns, I think we got a lot of high school bullies that become cops. And listen, there's a need for them too, because you need guys like that and girls like that too against the bad guys. You really do. But because they don't have the sophistication and the training, and some of them may never have the mental fortitude or aptitude, and then we have to deal with that through testing. But I think that's, you know, where you keep, they're losing their head.
I think I definitely agree with you, Kev. The reason I would say I don't feel that this is racially motivated is in listening to the call that came in, the original 911 call, and even all of the police chatter, because Sacramento police released two body cams. They released the original 911 call as well as the helicopter video. And nowhere in there did it say that this man was African American or black. The original suspect said...
I'm not saying that the people who called them in were racist.
But look at.
I'm not even saying that the cops were racist.
But did the cops, when they saw him, Mike, did they see a black man?
Here's the video. The video is playing right now. Look at how dark it is. They peered around a corner. They saw a man holding an object in his hands straight out. They made a split-second decision. The officers did not know, to my knowledge, of everything that I've listened to.
They would have said, at this point, they would have released a statement saying that they were unaware that this was a black man. They knew it was a black man.
I disagree.
Okay.
But I think when it's dark like this, right, it's incredibly hard, and you have a
really,
split second.
It's super scary.
I think it's hard when you have a split second. It's never been dark where I don't know if somebody's black or white.
It has been for me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That you've shot?
No, I don't have a gun, but there's times where I can't tell who the, you know, I would never be able to identify them. I don't know if it's black, white, Latino, nothing. Where it's just so dark, you know, and you know.
This is not.
I mean, that looks really dark back there, Rox. Right? Is it my eyes that are bad? I mean, when they have the flashlight, but without that flashlight, look how dark it is. Yeah, but you're not going to hold a flashlight to see somebody coming at you. I don't think.
You guys are honestly telling me you don't think these cops knew that this man was black?
No, I'm saying I don't.
100%.
I'm not saying 100%. I'm saying I don't know.
Well,
let them say that then, and I'll believe them if they say it. But they haven't said that.
I think the underlying issue is I don't understand how they're able to open fire without him open fire first.
Again, they're scared.
Yeah, but how are they allowed to do that? they're trained. They have bullet
vests.
Yeah,
but they don't have the training. That's what I'm saying, Juliet. There's not the sophisticated... Listen, Maria Show, AJ, is a Navy SEAL. He's an inventor. He's one of the most incredible men I've ever known is AJ... Lavalette. Maria's friend. And my friend. But, you know, he's an expert marksman. He is, you know, trained Navy SEAL. So he was trained to not have fear. But he's and he's black. And he will tell you, beyond race, primarily it's fear and lack of training to get these guys' minds right. So you're always going to, listen, you're always going to have racism. We're always going to have it, but we have it on both sides. That, you know, like we do have it on both sides.
It's a lot worse on one than it is on another.
Well, you know what? If you drive around as a police officer, and I'll tell you this from having police friends who've said the same to me, Roxy, when I was your age, they go, okay, you know what? Why don't you get in the car and drive around with us and see how we're talked to, how we're treated, how we're looked at. And you see,
what does that have to do with?
I'm just saying, you go out in the car and you see the hatred, the anger, right? But yet we all call the police when we need them. So you're getting that all the time. And they're human beings. But again, someone who's more, we expect them and they should be expected to be more evolved and have everyone hate them and still not lose their cool. Or to feel threatened in a situation and keep their cool. That's what I mean about both sides.
Interesting from Demo in the chat. I live in Sacramento, and a lot of people want the cops to be held responsible for this. I'm sure a lot of people don't, and I'm sure a lot of people do.
Well, you know, I think we need to listen. Mike, do you have in the news about the police officer, the rookie who was shot killed 2 weeks ago? They just had his memorial.
In California.
It's a rookie kid. His dream was to be a cop.
Yeah.
And he had a minority kill him. Just shoot him.
Now, it's interesting.
And that broke my heart because it was just his dream to be a cop. So now, if you're a cop and you're a little brother, and by the way, all the cops have came out today in the neighboring cities to come and support the family and to be there for him. So both sides need to own up that, you know, it's not just one side, number one. And number two, you know, as I said, the police do need to be held at a higher standard because they're wearing they have a badge. You know, I might lose my cool, but I'm not trained and I don't have a badge. Yeah. And I think, you know, I hate to be Captain Liberal and say it's education, but usually it goes back to that. And I think there's more education that's needed in terms of training,
and I think,
where they don't lose their cool.
And I think, Kev, it's what you're saying of like, oh, did you hear about this incident that happened with this police officer? And it doesn't make headlines, so a lot of people don't know.
Did
and,
you hear about it, Mike?
Oh, I knew about it. Yeah, I knew about it. Yeah, terrible. And like, I mean, the funeral
the
that happened.
Orphaned.
The funeral where people lined the street.
And for some piece of shit.
Now, in
that's
20...
never going to do anything good for society.
Yep.
Now, just ruined a family. Killed a guy, took away a guy's dream, and now there's another guy we're going to be paying for in prison forever.
Now,
so you wonder why you got to be sensitive to like why the next guy is literally his hand shaking when his hand's on the holster because he's like, if it's my life or his, fuck that, it's going to be his, not mine.
Now, this is obviously you have to factor in population, but Washington Post did an article last summer, or I think the summer before. They started in 2015, kind of looking at how many fatal police shootings there were. And in about a year and a half span, there was about 1,500 people across the country that were killed by police. Now, half of those, 732, were white, and then 381 were black. So there is a starkly higher number of white people who are shot and killed by police officers. Now, granted, again, taking in population, it is more even, but you don't always hear about it. So I think that's the biggest thing is you have these situations that pop off on social media and it's like, oh, I'm reading a headline. And especially even the headlines on this story, it was black man shot in his own backyard by police. Well, it wasn't his own backyard. It was his grandparents' backyard that he ran into after cutting across two other lawns, being tracked by police officers because they had video of him breaking into a house and reports of him breaking in other vehicles.
Right.
But you have the headline that reads black man shot in his backyard.
So you're chasing him. Your adrenaline's going, and you didn't have the intestinal fortitude to keep your cool.
Cool. Yeah.
Drop to the ground so you have some cover and say, whatever. I'm not a policeman. I can't tell you the procedure, and I wasn't there. But I know that, you know, you're afraid, your adrenaline's pumping. And, you know, it's California. You might be thinking about your brother who just got shot 2 weeks ago. And you're like, not going to be me, not for this guy. So
my grandparents live in Bel Air. You guys know Grammy and Papa. I'm very close with them. And my cousin was staying there this past week with his friend who happens to be black. And his friend was sitting in the backyard smoking a cigarette.
Did we catch him?
They called the neighbors called the cops.
Right
on, him.
Right on it.
Neighbors called the cops on him. Luckily, the cop showed up, and he was black. The cop was, and saw this fucking kid sitting there, and immediately kid
no
drops the cigarette, puts his hands up,
good.
Knows exactly
smart.
What to do.
Yeah,
like,
don't move, don't blink.
And the black cop was like, "All right, I get it," and then literally turned around and went. But it's so crazy because there is something that you can do about it, and this guy didn't, and he got shot for it and killed. He could have hands up, like played the perfect game. But I know had that been me, and I hadn't played a perfect game, I wouldn't have been shot and killed.
Well, you're also a girl, though. I wouldn't have been afraid of you.
I know, but that's sad. That's sad that if I'm sitting in a yard, nobody calls on me, and if this kid sitting in the yard, he has to.
But
don't make eye contact.
I will tell you, in our neighborhood, we have all these robberies going on. And by the way, our neighborhood, it's been equal opportunity. Whites, blacks, Latinos, Middle Easterns, it's been great. Just so everyone knows, our neighborhood crime knows no race. This crime spree has been all colors of the rainbow. We've been equal opportunity criminals. But... you know, the two that I got were black. That I caught were black. They had criminal records, and it was raining, and they're ringing doorbells, and they're telling a different story at every buzzer. And you knew just how they were dressed. That they didn't live in this neighborhood. And we have,
yeah.
We now have. So here's I'll tell you, just personal experience. We have houses where windows are being shattered. Guys are storming into houses. What I know, and I'm sure the police know too, but aren't saying, it's continuing. It's not stopping. And they're stepping their game up. Now, these are young men, some of the guys that are doing it, right? That are breaking into it. What are the chances at some point one of the people in that house is going to, it's going to go to the next level? Like someone's going to die. Someone's going to get in the way or say, hey, watch it.
Answer.
And some young kid who's green is going to say, you know, whatever, or beat somebody or, you know, because it's just the bar keeps raising. So for me, you know, the guys that I stopped were like, oh, it's just because we're black. I'm like, no, honestly, it's not. And I said, because we've had everyone in this neighborhood, but you don't belong here. You've lied. Everything's been a lie out of your mouth. Every door you've gone to, you've gone with a new story.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like it's out of nowhere. See, that's what I mean about both sides. It's not like it's out of nowhere. It's not like it's being made up. And,
yeah,
but I will say when it's tie goes to the runner and like, if I have to pick a side, well, then I'm going to put it on the cops to step their game up. But I get why they are.
And I get it too.
You know, I get it, but we need to expect more of them, and I just Captain Liberal here on this subject. I think it's more training. So, Mike, we got anything else? I'm already swimming out of my lanes.
No, I feel you, Kev. Another woman came forward, Playboy model, and actually spoke with CNN tonight about her affair with Donald Trump.
Oh, Stormy.
Not Stormy. It's not a story that I have in the news. It's a story that kind of came out after a playmate named Karen McDougal came forward and talked with CNN, said that she hooked up with the president dozens of times, that he tried to pay her the first time, that she still voted for Trump, and she really did think that this affair could lead to marriage.
Imagine not voting for somebody that you slept with. That'd be the ultimate kick in the nuts.
I feel like there's a lot of people I wouldn't vote for, though.
That you slept with?
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like just to say I fucked the president, I'd vote for them. Ego.
I still love Rox had a friend call her one time and go, come pick me up. I fucked Gronk.
Yeah.
I just fucked Gronk.
Just fucked Gronk.
Wait, that's a true story?
I have three friends who have fucked Gronk.
What? Voila.
Yeah. You actually know one of them.
Dun, dun.
Dun, dun,
Gronk likes himself some jupe.
Dun, 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 dun.
I read a tweet the other day that said, I can't believe we have a president that sleeps with porn stars and wants a space army, and I don't like him.
I'm excited for the space army.
Me too.
I can't wait.
I'm going to join it.
Yeah, why not?
Why the fuck not?
Yeah, it's just, again, just bizarro times.
You want
guys.
An update on the cursive situation?
Yes.
So far, 21% of people use cursive, 68% say it's unnecessary, and 11% say what the fuck is cursive. That's where we're at. Just almost a combined 80% of people almost who either don't use it or don't know what it is.
Do you think a lot of people think that cursive is written out swear words?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
Mike, I see here the Netflix actors are getting pay bumps from.
Yeah, starting to get pay bumps for season 3 of Stranger Things.
$350,000 an episode. That's a lot. I know it's a lot in civilian pay, but that's a lot in TV pay these days. And again, I commend Netflix. You know, now the question is this Netflix profit that pays for this, or is this stupid money? What I mean by stupid money, because I see these companies that get, you know, giant, giant sums of investment and capital and spend it and race out of the gate going great. And then just when the bottom is going to fall out of that, they get another round and another round. And
I think it's certainly something that they had to pay. I would argue that it's their most popular show. They have a lot of amazing content. I mean, anyone who hasn't been on Netflix lately, you see how much original
content they have. It's
unbelievable.
But like I said, I don't know. I'd have to find out more because I don't know if the bottom. You know what? Let me play Big Shot. If I go to Greek Easter in another week, I'll ask Ted Sarandos. He's always there. And I think he likes me because everyone else who's there, all the other stars, like, yeah, whatever, yeah, you know, the lamb's good this year, yeah, yeah. So anyway, I've got this project, and I'm like, how good did the Pee Wee movie do? Plus he likes me on Howard. But I'm going to ask him. Because I hear different things. Anyway, children, our final Thursday night for a while, but hey, you know what, Jersey Shore is coming back, and you'll be able to check us out over at AfterBuzz on Thursday nights, because I think Jersey Shore will be back on Thursday nights like it used to be, or is it Sunday?
I don't know. We gotta check it out.
Interesting.
Interessante.
Interesting. Who's excited for my Christmas Starts in August podcast?
So excited.
Just the most.
No Bush. Ian is going to join. Because he's going to bring the Hanukkah perspective.
Be honest with yourself.
Why?
Like Ian's coming out here?
No, he'll phone in.
Okay.
But we do need somebody to represent Hanukkah. I have someone who's going to represent Kwanzaa. Because it's the whole thing.
Who's representing Kwanzaa?
James Lott.
Oh.
The whole part of my little, like,
I always get confused.
Christmas
when is
scan.
Kwanzaa?
Michael Claus.
Does it do the Jew thing where it changes dates?
I think it's is it the day after Christmas? And I feel like, you know what? Is Steamer in the chat room, Steve the Steamer?
I don't see him.
He might be busy tonight. But, you know, I want, along with the Easter Bunny stock dropping, I feel like the Kwanzaa stock has dropped as well. Yeah, it's the 26th.
Oh, every year it's the 26th?
Of December.
It's for a whole week.
But I feel like the 70s was the big push for Kwanzaa. And then I think it's kind of gone down. Mike, has it hit the Midwestern Christian radar? Or did it ever?
Absolutely not.
No, never. No, didn't even know about it? No.
We had to learn about it in school. I don't mean had to in a bad way. I mean that we were Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa were all viewed like as equal parts.
And what do I say?
But I forgot what it was.
As long as we're having fun, I'm in.
Kevin, I mean this in the best way possible. I'm looking up the exact statistics, but the percentage of white people to black people in my hometown was like 99% to 1%.
Oh.
Any other races?
Can we look up?
Maybe 1% something else.
But can we go back to Kwanzaa? I want to know if Kwanzaa gets any love, because if I have to make Kwanzaa my quest, I'm looking for another holiday to glom onto.
Let's see.
How it goes to 20. It keeps Christmas going, so.
A whole extra week in there for you.
And I know there's Boxing Day, which is, that's the day after Christmas in Canada. And then Christmas officially, I believe, is supposed to go to January 6th. Mike, have you heard that from the Christian calendar?
I thought you said the 4th. The 6th.
January 6th. I thought we had all January.
No, it goes till January 6th?
January 6th. It's if
no, no. On the, it's not something you can Google.
On the Christian calendar, Mike. There's a. I think that's when it ends.
I thought it ended when it was, you know, no longer appropriate to still have a Christmas tree in your house.
Guess how many people celebrate Kwanzaa according to the African American Cultural Center?
How many?
As of 2009.
How many?
Did anybody have any guesses of any, like...
percentage?
Hundreds, thousands, millions?
80,000 people.
This is a 30 million people in 2009 celebrating Kwanzaa. Wow.
That's a lie. That is not true. That is not true. That is... No, that's a Homer.
I don't know.
That's a Homer statistic, meaning, you know, that's no. Let's get a general. Can you do better than that? Can we get a better source?
All of them are saying 28 million, no. 30 million.
I think Kwanzaa was a big push in the 70s.
In 2012, NPR did an article called "Is Kwanzaa Still a Thing?"
Thank you, NPR.
Let's see. In the 80s and 90s, many considered Kwanzaa a mainstream holiday like Christmas and Hanukkah, but now there seems to be less fanfare.
See. See.
We spoke to Mark Anthony Neal about whether Kwanzaa is still a thing or not. It's an NPR audio. It's a podcast you can listen to.
Well. You know what? Something to look forward to. Just the same. You guys, we definitely learned that next to nothing, but we had each other on this Thursday.
Yeah, that's what mattered.
Rox, what's up for the weekend?
I got to get drunk, so I was trying to see if I could get Juliet to do that with me. She seems in, maybe.
She's
I'm in.
Karen's here this weekend, so I don't think I have you, Kev.
No, Karen has Robert McKee, the writing class.
Also, then...
She's excited about
it. So maybe you can day drink
I can day drink. Okay. Oh, yeah, I would love to. She'd be so mad.
Okay.
All the F in.
So that...
Where do you date? Where's a good place to day drink? Down the beach?
Santa Monica, yeah.
Right, I'm in.
You got a day drink there.
In.
And then, yeah, I'm just trying to book people for two-hour time slots of drinking at a time. Like, I'm texting this person. Can you come drink from 4 to 6?
Great scam. Can you,
so then, like, wherever
Why
I am.
Why haven't I gotten a text yet?
I haven't finalized the group. And also, I feel like you wouldn't come.
He would.
Would you?
I would. I can't this weekend, but I would.
Okay.
Normally.
So you wouldn't.
Wait, I'm all in for Santa Monica day drinking. Okay. I will be in Santa Monica.
Holla for so a dollar.
I'm thinking a Saturday day drink session.
I'm all in.
I'm supposed to do something creative, but you know what?
Why don't we write things down. We'll come up with stuff.
Bring Jeff Graham.
Okay.
Jeff Scam.
Jeff lives around there, so he'll be down.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Scam would be great because Jeff Scam's Midwest.
Yeah.
So Midwest goy, they love to booze.
Yeah, I love a good day drink. I'm thinking that. Maybe even like just outside. It's got to stop raining. Rain doesn't help when you feel like shit.
It's supposed to be nice this weekend.
Yeah, rain will be gone by the weekend. So, Juliet, you're going to drink with Roxanne.
Yes, in Santa Monica.
And, Mike, where are you going?
So, I actually think I'm going to make a surprise trip over to Phoenix to surprise my parents and hang out for the weekend.
Wow, let's hope they're not listening, man.
Good man. Good son.
I saw the movie I Can Only Imagine last night, and I was bawling for the second half of the movie, and it made me miss my parents and... want to appreciate them.
In the theaters or?
Yeah, in the theaters.
What's it about?
So it's based on the best.
Oh, that's a Christian movie.
Yeah, it's the most popular Christian song of all time. A song called I Can Never Imagine.
Yeah, and I saw the reviews were pretty good, but then the reviews that weren't so good were pretty cutting.
Yeah, the first half of the movie is maybe a little cheesy, but the second half is very good.
Right.
Dennis Quaid is the lead, kind of adult, and then his son is based off the lead singer of Mercy Me. But Amy Grant is in there, and
All right.
A couple other big names.
I'm having a real hard time at movies lately. Quality's gone so far down, and my therapist was like, no, because you need to start making your own stuff. That's why. You're not seeing things the same way. And she said, just watch old movies. You know what? You're right.
You know which one really moved me that I just saw?
Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield? I know.
Yeah.
It's amazing. No, really.
What? No, Love, Simon, which was the Greg Berlanti movie that came out. It was really, really good.
Kev. I know. It looks good. I guess me and Maria, we could go see that one.
Yeah, it's just a feel-good. It's just happy to
be
happy.
No, I like that. It's not like Andrew Cunahan from Versace
it's
gay. It's nice gay.
It's nice gay, but it also is just like one of those classic,
I always remember my dad was like, oh, no. See, no, he's a bad gay. Okay, thanks, Dad.
One of the bad ones.
He's a bad gay.
It's like just a classic coming of age, like she's all that, like that kind of. Is it brilliant? No, but is it just like sweet and nice? Yeah.
But that's, I'm in.
Yeah.
But that's how movies to me have like gone so downhill that it scraps.
Yeah.
You know, and I know I need to see Black Panther.
That's really good.
I know, and Avengers though too, but I
actually
just
don't know if you'll love Black Panther
but,
though.
No.
I think you'll be like, oh, this was a
I'm
good
just
movie.
So, it, for a guy who grew up doing nothing but reading comics, sewing his own Batman costume, just obsessed with superheroes. I never thought the day would come. Whoa, that is news.
Well, I don't think it's news.
I never thought the day would come that I was not. I'm just bored with these movies. But Chris Evans out as Captain America? Explain.
Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, Roxy, I'll let you take it.
Sudbury boy.
So this is something we've been talking about for a while, because with Infinity War coming up, people are assuming that Thanos, which is the villain of the film, is going to take out at least one of the big three, being Thor, Captain America, or Iron Man. Their time is coming to an end, as Spidey, Black Panther, all of those people are on the rise, even somebody like a Black Widow getting her own movie. And so people have been questioning, is Chris Evans, is Hemsworth, is Robert Downey Jr., are they going to continue to be in the franchise? What is their role going to be? Also, contractually speaking, what does that look like there? Or is their time done? Do they pass on their post?
Chris,
so that's what's been happening for a while.
And why
do
we think Chris is the guy?
Well, a lot of people had been speculating that it was him. But I guess, what was it, a Hollywood Reporter article today? A
New York Times
article today. I don't know if you have it up. I can try to pull it up right now.
Yeah, he just says that he's not happiest, he says, when he's on screen. And he also gave the quote, you kind of want to get out before they kick you out. So maybe go out when it's
He's a real special guy. I tell you, we know him. And, you know, his mom ran a little theater in Sudbury, Mass.
Wow, that's so cute.
And he's a actor, a true actor, but in person is big time laugher, so funny, so fun, charismatic, down to earth, but doesn't like the interviews, doesn't like the whole I'm a movie star thing, and he resisted this role. And Hollywood's funny like that. The more you resist, the more they give you. You know, they're unbelievable. The more they'll throw at you. And then the more you're earnest and want to do it, then the more they're like, nah. And I'm the other way. I want the person who's got their heart in it and wants to win. If you play those games with me, I go walk away. As I'm not here to play games. I'm Belichick. I want to win.
Yeah.
Well, Robert Downey Jr. almost walked away in 2013 before the films really exploded.
Yeah. I think it's also very challenging if you are somebody who's playing Superman or Captain America. Like, automatically you're signing up to be this role model that maybe he didn't, frankly, want to be.
Yeah.
And, that is the exact quote he said. You want to get off the train before they push you off.
And, well, he's smart. But, you know, he learned very young that when he was like, I don't want to do it, and they hit him harder and harder and harder, and they, you know, they ended up paying him way more. And it did change his life for the positive. But he was really on the fence because he knew what this was going to be. He knew this was going to be, you know, such a drastic change in his life.
It's an interesting.
He's a really smart guy, and he's down to earth. A typical Boston guy.
He said, "I used to have thoughts of wanting to climb to the top of something or wanting to be somebody, but when you get the thing that you think you want, and then you wake up and realize that you still have pockets of sadness and that your struggle will reinvent itself, you stop chasing after those things, and it's liberating because you realize that right here, right now, is exactly all I need."
Living in the present. He's right. Yeah, he's a great guy, smart guy. Well, listen, we wish him well, and he's going to need it because he's hurting. He obviously wasn't born very good looking. You know,
yeah,
he's not a very
so
good actor. And he's down to his last $62,000 in the bank, I think, last time
Damn,
I checked.
Sucks.
So, which goes fast, Rocks, believe me. I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's at Roxy Stryer. At the only MC,
At Bonjour Juliet. At Undergaro. That's me.
Never say it. I am so happy.
Yeah, at Undergaro.
At the Tomorrow Show.
At the Tomorrow Show. And some new guests next week, next Wednesday. We have some new crew. A lot of crew coming at me wanting to board the ship.
Well,
and
now
again,
that we're moving to Wednesdays.
You need to vet them. I'm too indecisive again to say who to come. But we do have someone coming Wednesday that I think will be a very nice treat.
Great.
That will wear the colors well. But until then, everyone, except for Juliet, I want Juliet to have fun. Everyone else, though, please... What, Roxy Stryer?
Make it a better tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
Pussy.
Golden days before they end. Whisper secrets to the
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.